Romans chapter 7, starting in verse 18. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells, for to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law, that evil is present within me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin.
Good morning. I ran across those scriptures and that scripture this morning, and I thought it went really well with what I'm going to be talking about, which is, what is a vice? It sounds in that passage as if this person is really struggling with something and can't let go. It's got a real hold on him. What is a vice? If you look up the definition, it's an immoral, wicked, or evil habit, action, or trait. A habitual or frequent indulgence in pernicious, immoral, or degrading practices. A failing or imperfection in character. But God wants us to be a clean soul, to have a clean soul. He didn't want the lamb sacrificed that walked with a gimp leg or had some kind of defect, big gouge on his side or something like that. He wanted the best. He always wanted the best people had for a sacrifice. And there's a reason for that. And he always wants the best from us. He wants us to give 100% effort. He doesn't want anything short of what we can do. He wants us to do our best. We need to clean it up and we need to be prepared. There's a popular song on the radio that's sang by Kenny Chesney that part of the lyrics of the song say, it's always your favorite sins that do you in. The sin can grab a hold of you and not let go. Which leads us to another definition for vice. A vice can hold a piece of metal or something while you work on it in place so you can fix it or weld it. A vice can hold you just where Satan wants you to be so he can do his work on you. Is a vice fine? For the most part, you're as free as could be, but it is an area where Satan has his grip on you. There's one particular area that Satan might have his grip firmly in place on you. You aren't allowed to have a vice, or as many or some other religions might call it an indulgence. We're not allowed to just keep letting a sin be a part of our lives. We're supposed to get rid of it. You can compare it to having a guest over, and you give them a tour of your house, and you have it all cleaned up for that guest, and you open up the one room, and that room is totally filthy. I could tell you which room that is in our house, but that's all right. That room can be what sticks in that guest's mind more than all the other clean rooms. That vice or favorite sin is going to have a chance to cancel out all the good things that you may do if you convince yourself God won't care if there's just one little thing that I allow myself to indulge in. In James, the first chapter, verses 14 through 16, it reads, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren." So there's a warning, one of the many that we have. Can God accept your heart? What is in your heart? Can he tell how hard you're trying? Or can he see you're too happy holding on to what's holding on to you? In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 22, it says, "But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to wallowing in the mire." They desire to return to these things when they're clean and attractive to us. And anybody that would look upon them, they turn back to the thing that makes them impure or disgusting. In Luke 18, verses 18 through 27, we find the story of the certain young ruler. And it reads, "A certain young ruler asked him, saying, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, Why callest thou me good? None is good save one that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother." And he said, "All these things I have done, and I have kept from my youth up." Now when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, "Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, and he said, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven." And they that heard it said, "Who then can be saved?" And he said, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." This young man had a problem. His riches had a hold of him, and he had a hold of his riches, and he didn't realize totally that was a problem, and Christ pointed it out to him, and he went away sorrowful. We don't know if he eventually repented or not, but he had a vice, and it was his money, and probably pride along with that. Does your vice make you, or are you bigger than that? In Mark 14, verse 38, it says, "Watch ye and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is truly ready, but the flesh is weak." We all know how weak our flesh is, and how easily it is to fall into temptation and give into it. And the easier once that you give into it, the easier it is to do it again. It is a tempting notion to think that your great life and all these other areas will be noticed and that your vice will be glossed over. But it's fool's gold to think in those terms. It's not true. Your soul is the most treasured possession So you need to make sure that it's ready for inspection at any time. That is a very key thing. And if you go over to Matthew, the 25th chapter, we had this story last week for children's class, so children can recognize this as I read the first 13 verses in this chapter. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto the 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels and in their lamps, and while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arise and trim their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there not be enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in to him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I said unto you, I know ye not. Watch therefore, and know that neither ye know the day or the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. We need to be ready. We don't know when our life's going to end. We need to be sure that we're free from all the vices and impurities that might hold us in a position that God would not know us. And Christ would deny us as we have denied Him, if that is the case. Revelation is the 20th chapter, verses 12 through 15, speaks of John when he was, as spoken by John, beholding heaven that he was allowed to see into. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of these things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up their dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, that is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. We don't want to be not found in the book of life. We don't want to have to be cast out into the lake of fire. There's no end to that. That's going to go on forever. This is the penalty that we can have a part of if we hold on to the worldly temptations and worldly lusts. If we let these vices that we might have hold on to us and don't try to free ourselves from them, that's where we're going to end up. That's one thing we are promised. In Ezekiel, the 23rd chapter, verse 35, it says, Therefore thus saith the Lord God, Because thou hast forgotten me and cast me behind thy back, therefore bear thou also thy lewdness and thy whoredoms. And this was spoken to two sisters who practiced in harlotry. But when you analyze the end of the verse, what does it mean to bear their lewdness? It means that they have to pay the consequences for their actions. In Ephesians, in the fifth verse, or fifth chapter, and verses 1 through 5, it says, Be ye followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ has also loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetous, let it not be named once among you as become a saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger or unclean person or covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God, of Christ and God. We can't let these things be a part of our lives. As human tendency to focus on bad, even if someone does good all the time and they mess up once, that once is going to stick with us more than any of the good that they've done. God doesn't forget the bad things either, but he does forgive if we're willing to repent. I believe that there is power in the blood. And I need that power, because I'm far from perfect. There's been times in my life that since I've been a Christian, that even though I had accepted Christ, I haven't been a very good example of what a Christian should be. And I haven't walked a real good Christian life in times of my life. Teen years are especially ugly, but you shouldn't allow that to keep you from making a commitment and being baptized. You shouldn't allow that to keep you from God, because you don't know what's going to happen to us. I remember specifically about my grandpa having two or three times fairly close to each other that he ran out of gas going to church, and people didn't want to, they wanted to razz him about it by bringing gas cans and lining them up outside the basement door of the church. Many people remember those times that he ran out of gas in a short period of time than all the other many times that he didn't run out of gas. That's just the way that's the way people's minds seem to work. Is your life span going to run out of gas before you're willing to pay attention to the needle? If that happens, you go to hell. If your needle is on E and you don't get your soul right, your soul will end up where you don't want it to wind up, and I guarantee you that we're promised weeping and gnashing of teeth to those that don't get their soul right. Are you satisfied with your current state? You may be in a good spot right now, but others of you know God isn't happy with an aspect or more than one aspect of your life. That there's something holding on to you and not letting go. Or you're not letting go of it. You're happy holding on to it. And you're not wanting to fix it. You aren't in control of how long God gives you. You are in control of taking care of problems and any vices you have. I had a problem this past couple months at work that the garage at work knew that there was a big problem with my truck that needed to be fixed, but they weren't going to fix it. And this week, on Wednesday, I wasn't able to attend church because it broke down and I was on the side of the road for 5.5 hours. You don't know when something that you're not paying attention to is going to come back to bite you. James 1, verse 12, it says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised them to them that love him. We have a good promise. We need to accept that promise. If you turn to Romans, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 23, the whole thing really reflects on how we are to be. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead in sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but also to live unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, that those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall have no dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that from the doctrine which was delivered you, being made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness. I speak after a manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants of uncleanness and iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things which are now, you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and becoming servants of God, ye have fruit unto holiness and to end, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It shows the two options clearly that we have. Do we want to hold on to the sin and to death and to fire? Or do we want to accept God and eternal life and bliss and all the great things that come with it? We have a chance when the invitation is offered, as it will be now. You have a chance to throw away that vice, get rid of it. And if you need it, let us help you. If you want to commit to God and make sure that sin isn't going to grab a hold of you, that you're going to grab a hold of God and he's going to help you out, are you going to lean on God and be baptized if you haven't been? That's an option for you. Don't put it off if you know what the blood of Christ has done for you. Become a member of him and you can always lean on him when things get tough. He doesn't ask you to be perfect, But he does ask for you to try as hard as you can release all the sins that might hold on to you. And you have the opportunity to accept the invitation as we stand and sing our invitation song.